This week, it's like show and tell for me. So this thing here is Adam. Oh, guys, everyone, it's Adam's birthday today. And he, yeah. He told me not to tell anyone that. I'm like, no, I'm going to for sure. Thank you very much for your help on your birthday, Adam. I owe you. So this thing right here was my great-grandfather's creel, and you like store like fishing supplies in it and stuff like that, and him and my dad would go down to like a creek and fish in the creek. So I brought this to show you. I brought this painting, which my great-great-aunt or aunt, if you prefer. It's actually not a painting, it's a pastel, and this is normally hanging in my living room, and I just love it. And when my grandparents moved, I said, hey, do you think I could have that? And they're like, sure. And so these are kind of like special things to me. And then this item right here is what I'm gonna be talking about to start. This is a Canadian Air Force jacket, dress jacket. It's missing the Canadian patches because my dad got in trouble when he was a teenager for trying to impersonate an officer or something. But it was actually my grandfather's. And then I don't know exactly how he got it, but my dad started wearing it from him. He either took it from his closet or asked him if he could have it or something like that when he was in high school. And then I started wearing it in high school. And see, it has my last name here. And it is like my absolute favorite item of clothing that I own. Bar none, it's my favorite thing. I've worn it probably since my sophomore or junior year of high school, so like we're talking like 12 years or something like that. I'm getting old. My 10-year reunion of high school is coming up this June. I will not be there, but sorry, team, I live in South Dakota. So this jacket is probably, if someone said, hey, there's a fire and all your clothes will be burned, you get to pick one thing, but your clothes, because I don't want you in the street naked. But you just have a white t-shirt and like regular shorts on, so it's lame. This is the item I would save. Definitely the thing I would save. And I like to think now that like it's kind of an heirloom, because my dad got it from my grandpa, and then I forget if I took it from my dad's closet and wore it a few times and then say, hey dad, I've been wearing this jacket, it's kind of mine now. Or if I asked him, I probably asked him, I can't remember for sure, but I like to think that when I have my own kids, Lord willing, that I would hand this down to them, one of them. Hopefully there's not fighting over that. It was easy with me and my brother because I asked first. And he's 6'1", so it wouldn't fit him right anyway. So that was a big win. But I like to think like I'd give it to my kids. I don't care if it's a girl or a boy who gets it, but one of them would hopefully get it. And maybe in my head, like maybe they just go in my closet and take it and start wearing it one day. And I'm like, that's, I think, how I got it. Or I kind of also have like this picture, so picture if you would, my like wife and the other couple kids and our dogs and whatever other animals we have, because kids ask for animals and you're like, oh, they're so cute and animals are cute, you give them to them. And they're all there and we have like this little ceremony where I hand over my jacket and then it's like this like moment and everyone's crying and the things I picture sometimes. But that's something I'm excited to hand down to my kids. I will be excited to hand these things off to someone at some point as well. But the thing that I'm most excited by far to pass down to my children is my faith in Jesus. And I'm not that, in generationally speaking, I'm pretty new to the Christian game. I'm not first generation Christian, but on my dad's side, he's first generation of taking it seriously. And on my mom's side, she's second. So I'm like a third, second combo. And the way that my dad came to faith was this man was like, hey, I'm going to drive a bus around the neighborhood and see if kids want to get on and go to church. And my grandparents were like, sweet, free daycare for the morning. And that's how my dad became a Christian. And he started going to this church. And then my papa, which is my mom's dad, started going to church in his mid-20s because some guy who lived like not too far from the neighborhood came door to door and said, "Hey, do you know about Jesus?" And they were like, "We do not." And so then he talked to them. They became Christians. In a couple short years, my papa went from being a milkman, when they used to deliver milk, like in a little crate, crazy. And he went from being a milkman to being a minister. And he was in ministry for a really long time. He's retired now. But then my mom was a pastor's kid, traveled around a bunch, switching between church and church. And then lo and behold, Dan and Denise ended up going to the same church because my papa, George, started being the pastor there, and my dad was already going there from the bus ministry, and then eventually they had me. That's kind of how it works, right? There's stuff in between there you know about. This isn't fourth grade. This is college, so we don't need to get into that. But it's really cool to think of, like, the faith heritage and, like, kind of the generations that have gotten faith to this point. Maybe in your own life, I was talking to someone and they are from a long line of steadfast Christians, and I was like, that is sweet. And then there's other people who you're the first generation. You're like the seedling of this amazing thing that can transpire. And when I think about generations, I think about the Old Testament. I don't know if you guys have read some of those genealogies. Whew. They are long, and you're like, I'm kind of falling asleep. I should have not read my Bible at 10:30 with like 90 names in a row. But I think of like stuff like in Ezra I was reading, and it was like, this person came back from the Babylonian exile, and they had 2,300 people, and this family had this many people. And it's like, whoa, this is cool. Like, family heritage of faith. And that was the Israelites. And I can't help, when I think about generations, but think about Abraham. And Abraham was a believer in God, and then God said, hey, go do this thing, and I want you to move away and just walk, and you're gonna go. And Abraham was like, all right, I am gonna do it, God, I'm listening. And so he listens and he goes, and God promises him when he gets to this place, he says, hey, you're gonna, like, your descendants are gonna just like own all this land. And then Abraham's like, that's cool, God, not sure you notice, no son still, getting kind of old. And eventually God blesses him with his son, Isaac. And then God does this crazy thing. He says, hey, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice that son that is part of this lineage, and after I promise you many generations to have this land. And Abraham was probably so confused, but he went along with it, and he said, God, I trust you, and I'm going to be obedient. And he takes him up a hill, takes him to an altar, and then God says, nope, don't do it. And he's like, all right, I didn't want to. And then a ram is there, and the sacrifice ends up being a ram instead of his son, which is way nicer. And then what happens is that an angel appears. And it says, then, or the angel appeared and told him not to do it. And then it says, then the angel of the Lord, in Genesis 22:15, we start off, then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says, because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. All because you have obeyed me. And I got thinking about this as I read this week. How crazy is it to think, all because someone in my line chose to obey God, I'm here right now. Just take a second to appreciate that. For maybe someone in your family line saying yes to Jesus. But also, it takes more than just that, because Jesus actually warns of this in Matthew 3:9. He says, you know what? Don't take for granted the blessing of your heritage, because because God can chop that root off with an axe. So never take for granted your heritage of faith, because it takes each and every one of us engaging with the real presence of God to be able to continue to obey and to be able to continue on a lineage or start a new lineage of faith. We have to choose to engage him, to be with him, to seek after him, to give everything up for him in the same way that Abraham was willing to give every single thing up for him, including his only son, which was the son of promise, and he was willing to do it to be obedient to God. And because of his obedience, God says, you're going to be blessed, and you're going to have just like descendants, and people are going to honor me like the sands of the sea, which is just like an astronomical number, right? Like unfathomable. But that's the point. It's that so many people will come to faith because of Abraham. And while we might not be Abraham, we do have the opportunity to obey God and engage him and not just affect our generations after us from our bloodline, but it is cool to think of, like, because of what you're doing now, because you chose Jesus now, because you chose to engage Jesus, there's a good chance that 100, 200 years from now, maybe even more, probably even more, hopefully, I pray more over you, that people have your DNA and they're praising Jesus just like we are now, but with probably way crazier technology. VR and I don't know, beyond that, 200 years. But like, that's a crazy thing to think about. But also, because you chose to obey Jesus and because people before you have chose to obey Jesus, there's like this insane web of people that aren't on a generational line as far as your DNA, but that are all in your surroundings, that are right here and now, that are people that you've grown up with. And I was thinking about that this week, and I was trying to add up people, and it's really hard to be like, who's played a major role in my faith life? Who's helped me become the Christian I am today? And the number I came up with was 37. It feels a little random, but there's probably over 37 people, but 37 people who have had decent points or been access points who have fed into my life that have helped me become the Christian I am today. And before them, they probably all have certain number of people, 37 maybe, 37 people beyond them. And then like you guys can start to imagine all of the people that can impact other people for the kingdom. And they're all just people who choose to say yes to Jesus. And I'm not saying it's all about your human effort, because guess what? It is mostly the Holy Spirit. He's like right there, he's knocking, he's like all in this space, and you just got to say, yes, I'm going to open this door. And he's like, good, you're supposed to. That's what it is. We just need to say yes, and we need to engage him, and we need to be willing to give everything up for him. And I'm going to read a psalm, and it talks a little bit about this obedience and what can come of it, and it's Psalm 112. And it says, praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger, and they will slink away, their hopes thwarted. This is just some of what we have to look forward to, the more that we say yes to Jesus. And am I promising you earthly riches because of it? No. And it says, like, there's going to be bad times, and there's going to be times, like, it says you don't fear in bad news because you know where your trust comes from. Just like that song, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." We need to know where our trust comes from, and we need to obey him. And we need to know that the more that we choose to engage this, and the more that we seek the Holy Spirit, and the more that we're honoring God, and the more that we're giving more of our time, and the more that we're being generous, and we're loving on people, and that we're making sure that he's a part of every single aspect of our lives, we're going to start to see his blessing all around us, not just in our own personal lives, because it's not just about us. And it's not just about you engaging Jesus. Do I want you to engage Jesus? 100%. But you engaging Jesus has a ripple effect. It has potential to affect 5 people, 10 people. I could keep saying numbers, right? Millions of people potential. If we start doing lines and start mapping things out, because we're choosing to say yes to Jesus. And that is the greatest heirloom. That's the greatest thing to hand down to your kids. That's the greatest thing to hand over to your friends. That's the greatest thing to carry with you wherever you are and to show it off and to make sure that everybody knows. Because I'm only going to get to give this to one person. But I have the potential to share Jesus with every single person that I encounter. And so do you. And as you go into this summer and as finals come up, know that that's where your trust comes from. Know that wherever you go, and if you're a senior and you're graduating and you might be scared and you don't know that you're carrying this heirloom. You're carrying this amazing thing. And maybe you're a long line of heritage of faith, or maybe you're starting out and you just picked it up. But it doesn't make it any less precious, no matter where you're at. It's something worth selling everything for. Abraham was willing to give his son up for this obedience, for his relationship with God. What are you willing to give up? What do you want to be known for? What do you want to pass off to every single person that you encounter? I know I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to tell them about how amazing he is and how you can give everything over to him, and that how he's there to celebrate and be jacked with me, and he's going to be there when I'm at my lowest points. We're going to go into a time of prayer. And if anyone has anything they want to be prayed for, there's going to be people at the back through the rest of the worship set, through prayer time. If there's something you're having trouble giving up, if there's something that you feel like God's telling you to do and that obedience is hard, go and let someone support you in that. Let's pray. God, thank you for each and every individual here. Thank you for this amazing thing that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for your amazing grace, this free gift that you have given to each and every one of us that we can't attain ourselves, but you offer up freely because of your Son that spent his time here on earth living full and amazing. And God, he went to the cross and took all of our sins so that we could accept that, defeating that death, overcoming the grave, and resurrecting again 3 days later. God, thank you for this amazing gift. Thank you for love, for your love that you loved us first. God, help us to fall more deeply in love with you and to spread your love everywhere we go. Let us know that the greatest thing that we can hand off to anyone is something that multiplies. It isn't just a one-time thing, but we're all connected by you, by your one spirit. Thank you for your spirit. May you fill this place with excitement, knowing that you are here and that you are real and that you love us. Let us pass that off to everyone we meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.